Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with you in hour number two, Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris, taking you right up to NFL football, Bears and the Vikings this evening from Soldier Field. Get to see some more football. Saw a lot of it this weekend. If you miss any of the interviews this evening, just go to WQAM.com. Go to the top of the page where it says podcast. You'll get an opportunity to hear everything. And then tomorrow we will have our rewind where we'll put out on our social media all the interviews that we had this evening, certainly in the first hour, talking a little bit of USF football with Joey Knight from Tampa Bay Times and Matt Mershell, talking UCF football from the Orlando Sentinel. And then Coach Miles Russ, the head coach at Kaiser University, program that has had plenty of national championship caliber success. They'll be have a home game this Saturday, first of the year. And now we start off hour number two with the University of Miami program that obviously number five in the country and coming off a win over Bethune-Cookman. You know, one of those go through the motions type of the game, but certainly an opportunity to see some of the younger players as well as kind of tune up for this week. Somebody who sits right by me in the press box and obviously does a lot more than that throughout the course of the year, Gio Milian, and he is kind enough to join us this evening. Gio, thanks so much for taking the time. Kind of like a little bit of go through the motions last week, getting ready for a program this week that everybody's taking serious in USF.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you for always having me on, Larry. I appreciate it very much. It's turned into a big week for the University of Miami. You know, I think most people thought maybe UF would have handled USF last weekend. That wasn't the case. 18 to 16, that final score. You also had Spitgate at the end of that game as well, just quite controversial itself. But Miami's looking good so far through their first two games. You know, impressive win against Notre Dame, and I think most of the takeaway from there is how they looked up front. The offensive line, defensive line looked great. Last week was a nice tune-up for them with Bethune-Cookman. Got some young players in. Malachi Toney continues to impress, leads the team in a ton of categories. So it's a nice hot start to the season, and they get yet another ranked matchup coming into this weekend. USF coming in the AP polls at 18.
Not bad at all, and then it gives Miami an opportunity, you know, in a home game to continue to show off some of the talent that they have. Carson Beck over the first two games, you can't say enough but positives about him. Notre Dame, cool, calm, collected, did what he needed to do to win the game last week, you know, kind of a tune-up, what he complete fifth for his first 15 passes, which is a Miami record, breaking Vinny Testaverde's mark. But certainly you got to be impressed over the first two games with Carson Beck. Obviously, his maturity, his approach to the game, the way he you know, kind of runs that offense. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think he reads the field very quickly, gets through his progressions fast, not afraid of taking the check down. I know some fans may not like that. They'll say, oh, you know, he's being checked down, Charlie. No. He's willing to take the deep shots down the field. Actually, all four of his touchdowns through the first two games are beyond 20 yards, so I think that really sticks out in that aspect. 22 for 24 against Bethune-Cookman. Had a great performance against Notre Dame as well. No turnovers. Everyone talked about his turnovers last year with Georgia, but some of that was fault with the receivers dropping the most passes in the country of any Power 4 team. So you imagine that. He comes to the University of Miami and he gets guys like C.J. Daniels, who's snagging passes out of the air with one hand, and Malachi Toney, who plays like a fifth-year veteran at 17 years old. So I think he's got a great cast around him. JoJo Traitor's going to be coming off the men now, too. That's another weapon for them in the offense, and they haven't even got the tight ends going yet. So I think there's much more that we could see from Beck with this offense.
Is there a concern about not getting more of the tight ends involved? Because you do have some really good ones. I mean, you have Elijah Lofton, who's obviously a guy that we know about, as versatile as you get. But we also had an opportunity to see the way that Alex Bauman gets upfield. And we looked at Luke Gilbert and Brock Schott and, even you know, guys like that. And even we had a chance to see good old Owen Ruskovich the other day as well. They have a lot of really good tight ends. Do you think maybe they're just easing them into this rotation, trying to get every other part of the offense intact because their running game is extremely deep? What we saw, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 running backs last week with Gerard Pringle being a true freshman and then getting an opportunity to score. You think that's what it is with the tight ends? Because you understand they have a great tight end room right now.
Oh, yeah. They have a ton of different body types in that room. I actually had a conversation with their tight end coach about a year ago, Coach Woodhill, about the type of guys he tries to go after, whether it's the portal or the high school ranks. And he mentioned it. He's like, you try to look for these freak athletes that are anywhere between 6'2 to 6'5 that can run like a deer and also are agile enough in the open field. So you got great different skill sets in the room between Lofton, Bauman, Gilbert, Schott, and Ruskovich that you mentioned. It's all different heights and sizes, different skill sets. I think it's some of it was by design with Notre Dame. Notre Dame was clogging up a lot of the middle of the field in game one. Game two, I think there was some more opportunities there for them, and they cashed in on some of those, but I think they'll get going soon. I do think they'll get going soon. I was impressed with Brock Schott, though. I think he's a great vertical threat. I'd like to see him play a little more this season.
Yeah, well, I understand. I like to see Elijah Lofton do, because I think Elijah Lofton's he's a Maserati. You don't want to be parking him the garage, because the kid could do so many things. Talk about the defense. What you like? What you think needs some work?
I think the biggest standout with the defense, just one guy in particular that's really, I don't want to say caught me by surprise, because he was an all-SEC guy at the nickel position at Auburn. His position coach leaves for Houston, and then he's here at Miami this year in Zach Etheridge. But Keontae Scott, he moved outside last year with the Tigers in the SEC. Didn't go so great for him. He's back in the nickel here at Miami. He's had a really hot start to the season. He had 3 tackles for loss last week, had the lowest passer rating allowed of any defensive backs in the Miami-Notre Dame game. He's looked great early on. Defensive line-wise, Miami's got a great group with their top 3 guys in the interior. David Blay in particular, that nose tackle type that I think – Miami's been missing for some time. Maybe the last time they had a guy that could impact in that way as a nose tackle, being able to take on multiple blockers, I'd say Daryl Jackson, who's now at Florida State. So nice to have a guy there. Justin Scott flashed a bit. Ahmad Moten really coming to his own. And on the edges, Reuben Bain, total nightmare for any offense in the country. Even Heisman talks early on. So, you know, maybe he might see a Benarik Award end up at Miami again, and a key mentor finally healthy. They got a great rotation there. Armando Blunt is expected to be back this weekend too, so that'll be great for them. He was pretty impressive against Notre Dame. And the secondary, just overall, night and day from last year. I know it's only 2 games in, but I think it's very evident the improvements that have been made there.
Yeah, they'll be tested this week with a running quarterback. Obviously, last year, running quarterbacks kind of gave him fits. I think this year with the front 7, a lot more athletic, a lot more experience. I agree with you. So this should be a good matchup. 4:30 kickoff on Saturday. I know you'll be front and center. And certainly we appreciate everything that you do, Gio. And we'll be having you a lot during the season. Long way to go. A lot of football to be played. Game 3 coming up this week against USF in a much anticipated battle. But you like to have those games. You like to have a game that's going to draw 55, 60,000. You know, a lot of USF graduates that live down here, just give them an opportunity, come see. And Miami certainly will get tested once again before they hit Florida and Florida State, and then the meat of their schedule, which you know as well as I do, that ACC is the only thing that counts. because that's the only thing that's going to get you into the playoffs. Let everybody know how they can follow you. I know you do great podcasts. You and Amon Richard do a great podcast. You also have a lot of things going. Let everybody know how they can follow you.
Yes, everyone can follow me on X at Gio Million. You can also find me on YouTube. I do a weekly show with Amon Richards, Miami Hurricanes football alumni, freshman All-American who broke Michael Irvin's freshman receiving yards record. Actually, that record may be in jeopardy this year.
No doubt.
You can also find me on the Caneswear podcast. People can shop at Caneswear in Davie. There's a ton of Miami Hurricanes gear out there. And plenty of other shows as well. I make appearances on Locked On Canes with Alex Dono. I'm sure everyone knows Dono. So I try to spread myself around.
Well, we're glad you do, man. You have a lot of good knowledge, a lot of great insight. Can't wait to see you again on Saturday.
Thank you, Larry. Anytime.
Good stuff. Gio Million, who brings it strong. He's at everything. He knows a lot about football, and that's a good thing. Great insight.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.